everyone, welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a slimy friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful whale shark. This episode, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Jordan, who wrote in from the United Kingdom through email. So thank you, Jordan, so much for writing in. This episode would not have been possible without you, and this podcast would not be possible without each and every one of you out there listening and giving me such good company each and every week. Now, I don't know if any of you longtime listeners can tell, but I have invested in some new recording gear. So I am now using a kind of broadcaster microphone, and I am trying to record in some of the more soundproofed spaces to try to give it a little bit better of a sound. Now, because this is a new piece of equipment that I have to learn how to use, it is likely that I'll need just a little bit of time to really get the most out of this microphone and the setup. I know you guys are super patient, and if you like how this podcast sounds and you really find it better than the previous episodes in terms of sound quality and all of that, please reach out to the email, because I don't have access to the Instagram still, but reach out to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com and give me feedback. You guys are what make this show possible, so I want to make sure I am giving you the best experience possible. So when you write into the show, you can tell me maybe an animal that you want to hear, and also what you think about the new sound quality. But also, maybe you can hear from my voice, I'm not so sure, but I am just getting to the end of a pretty annoying cold, so if you hear maybe some nasally kind of sound, that is because I am just a bit sick. But I wanted to make sure that you guys had a new episode on Monday, so bear with my little nasally speech. So let's go straight into the review of today, which, when reading it prior to the show, is so endearing to me and makes me just super grateful to be hosting this show. So the subject line is Life-Changing Podcast, and this was written by Georgina F. on Apple Podcasts, writing all the way from the United States of America, just south of where I am recording. And Georgina writes, "I have really bad anxiety / insomnia, and listening to your podcast has really changed my life. Listening and learning about animals has really helped me sleep better at night. Thanks for all you do and your passion for animals. Looking forward to listening to many more episodes. Keep up the awesome job." And then there's emojis of a few different animals. From what I can see, we have a mouse, a fox, a squirrel, a panda, and a pig. And then Georgina writes a PS. "Can you do an episode on pigs and foxes? Those are my absolute favorite animals." Thank you, Georgina, for the abundance of kind words which you put into that review. I so appreciate the feedback, and whenever I read things like that, as many of you long-term listeners know, I always get either a stupid big grin on my face or more of an endearing sort of gratitude expression. I'm not sure how to describe that, but that is more what I had today. So if you want to write a wonderful review like Georgina did on Apple Podcasts, it's not at all necessary. Your listenership means already all the world to me and to the show. But if the show has been helpful to you and you want to be a part of the show's growth, leaving a review is one of the biggest things that you can do. And I think a pig episode and a fox episode would both be great episodes in the future. I know I've heard a lot of stuff on pigs in the past few years. I've always heard things like pigs are smarter than dogs and, you know, people are now getting pigs as pets. Those little baby pigs that I've seen on the internet before, they are adorable. So they would be great to cover in a future episode. And now, before we get into the relaxation portion of the podcast, I am just going to say where I got my facts from. I got them from oceanscubadive.com and worldwildlife.org. It also has come to my attention that I have not been saying which resource I use to get the etymologies of the names of the animals at the end of each episode, and I am getting pretty much all of them from etimonline.com, and there they have etymologies of a lot of words. So if you want to learn more about the whale shark or about really any other animal, going to those resources is going to be really, really fantastic. Without those references, I would not be able to make this episode. So now let us go into the portion that I'm sure many of you are waiting for, and that is where we are going to relax prior to going into the facts. So I want you to sort of go through your body and notice where you're carrying some tension. It might be in your legs. Maybe you stand a lot at work or at school, or you sit a lot at work or school. It might be in the legs, in the back, in the neck. For me today, because I've been quite sick the past few days, it is mostly sort of in my low back. I don't lay down all that often, so the excessive laying down and bed and whatnot has really took a toll on my back. So I'm going to do my best to relax that part of my body, and you guys do the same as we go into the oceans where the whale shark resides. So for the first fact of the episode, it is going to be, what are whale sharks? Well, unlike the name suggests, which is a whale and a shark, whale sharks are actually not whales at all, but they are rather the world's largest fish, measuring up to 45 feet in length. So while they might be smaller in comparison to other whales, because they're not whales, they are actually the world's largest fish, giving them the absolute gold medal when it comes to the size of fish. And given their size, you would think that researchers would know a lot about them, but little is actually known about the whale shark when you compare it with other species. To give you an idea of this lack of knowledge, researchers don't even know how many currently exist in the world's oceans. So sometimes this will happen on the show, in which there won't be a ton of research or an abundance of resources. In the case of the whale shark, we're going to be going through many sort of interesting facts, but ones that are not too much in depth because researchers are still working on it. So it is almost kind of exciting that as we are living right now, researchers are finding more and more about this sort of mystery species. So the next fact will be the scientific name. And I know that many of you like this part because it causes me to struggle quite a bit. The scientific name for them is Rhynchodon typus. That was not all that bad. And they belong to the group known as Chondrichthyes. So we have just a little bit of a harder name for the group than we do for the specific scientific name. And this group includes sharks, rays, and skates. And these fish have skeletons made entirely of cartilage, in comparison to other fish that have skeletons made of actual bone. So that is what makes this group a group, really, is this unique skeletal structure that is made entirely of cartilage. Me and you have skeletons, like skeletal structures, but luckily enough, they are not made purely of cartilage. That would make for maybe a little bit of a funny sight, but for any other purpose would make us little land jellyfish, and we would not survive very long. And where do whale sharks live? They can be found in tropical oceans in areas like the Maldives, the Philippines, and Mexico. So some of the most beautiful places in the world, you're going to be able to see the whale shark. I have never in my life been to the Maldives, the Philippines, or Mexico, so maybe one day I can do a little safari tour or a catamaran and see some whale sharks. And in terms of weight, they can weigh up to 20.6 tons, which is about the weight or size of a regular school bus. So their size really is nothing to scoff at. It is quite impressive. So although the name suggests that they are related to whales and they are not, they do, however, have some things in common with whales. For example, they are very large and they feed more like whales than a typical shark. So when I imagine how whales eat, I imagine that they open their mouths and just sort of cruise and let the fish go into their mouth, and that is quite close to how the whale shark eats. And for those of you looking to celebrate International Whale Shark Day, we actually missed it, but not by much. It is celebrated every year on the 30th of August, so we missed it by close to 3 weeks now, but there's always next year. The purpose of days like International Whale Shark Day is to raise awareness of how they have been hunted to the status of vulnerability for its highly prized fins and meat. Now, this happens quite often and with many shark species for exotic foods or exotic sort of trinkets and souvenirs. Poachers that will oftentimes hunt them illegally and to a very large excess. So when we celebrate the International Whale Shark Day, we are not only celebrating a cool animal because it is cool, we are celebrating it to sort of raise awareness over this area of excessive poaching. Now, me and you are quite unique individuals. We might have different hobbies, we might be different heights, But one of the main ways that are indicative of our uniqueness are our fingerprints. And you've always heard maybe that statement that each human fingerprint is unique. And while there has been in history fingerprints that are actually the same from two different individuals, they are most oftentimes quite unique. And in the case of the whale shark, each one has its own unique pattern of spots, much like the human fingerprint. So far, researchers have never found a whale shark with the exact same pattern. And you can see that just behind their gills, they will have a unique arrangement of pale white spots. And these patterns are going to play a role for researchers to be able to identify them. I always find it very interesting how researchers identify individuals in a population that normally would be quite hard to the untrained eye. With some animals, it will be their nose. With some, it might be their tail. It might be patterns on their skin or their fur. And in the case of the whale shark, we have these unique patterns of spots. We covered earlier how whale sharks eat, and that being somewhat close to the eating patterns of a whale. Well, how is that going to happen if they don't have large mouths? And boy, do they have large mouths. Their mouth is about 5 feet wide, or 1.5 meters on average. So if you try to take into account that 5 feet is close to the average size of a human being right now, they would likely be very good against human beings playing a game of Chubby Bunny, which is one of those recent games that I've seen some of the kids playing, where they put as many marshmallows as they can fit into their mouth and still be able to say Chubby Bunny. In the case of a whale shark, where they have a 5 foot wide mouth, they would likely win every game. And with a mouth that large, they can take in around 600 cubic meters of water every single hour. And while they have a large mouth, they also have an interesting kind of tooth structure. Most sharks will have between 20 to 30 rows of pearly white teeth, but these have more than 300 rows of teeth. They must pay a lot to go to the dentist. And if we're talking about how many individual teeth a whale shark has, they will have around 3,000 individual teeth, each one about the size of a match head. So they don't have these very, very big teeth because they don't really need it. So while they have quite a lot of teeth, they will be smaller than some of their other shark friends. And you might be wondering, what do whale sharks eat? Well, despite them being quite large, or enormous as it is listed in this article, this species exclusively dines on very small life forms like plankton, krill, fish eggs, and small fish. So they love their pescatarian kind of diet, and I, for one, am grateful that they don't have an appetite for humans, and that although they can likely swallow us in one gulp, they would rather dine on some of the smaller fish. So that is also a reason why they are awesome. And they do indeed swallow their food whole. They will not bother chewing. Even though they have 3,000 little teeth, they will most oftentimes just get the fish down the hatch and down they go. And this might speak quite a length into their chemical and mechanical digestive system farther down. because we as human beings require to chew our food because it is a lot harder for our stomach to handle sort of these bigger chunks of food. And it is also not very safe to try. In the case of the whale shark, they have a lot larger of an anatomy. So us as human beings, we have to make sure that we chew our food properly prior to swallowing. We can leave the whole swallowing their food whole thing to the whale shark. And one other thing about their anatomy is that they have gills that is like a mesh-like network of long cartilaginous bars known as gill rakers. And gill rakers allow the water to escape, but also prevent even millimeter-sized victims from getting away. And eventually, the meal will be forced down their throat and digested. So these rakes will allow that water to filter through while the food that they've ingested stays in. So it is like a organic, biological, anatomical filter, which is very cool. In terms of their eating habits, sometimes they will sort of lazily swim or float with their mouth agape, and this low energy feeding system allows them to passively swallow any food items that might be in its path. Us as humans, if you were trying this strategy, you would likely get a lot of weird looks if we were just to walk around the local park with our mouth fully open trying to get any food that comes our way. We might get some weird looks. So this is also something that I think we are quite happy to leave to the whale shark. And in 3 years, it has been recorded that a single whale shark can travel 8,000 miles or more. That is a long, long ways away. And though their migration habits are to this day not fully understood, we know that the fish tend to gather in large groups in specific places at specific times, likely for some kind of breeding purpose or other purpose. So maybe in the future we'll have more to go into the whale shark's migration habits. Huge schools of these whale sharks are known to visit exotic locales like the Galapagos Islands and Yucatan Peninsula every summer to gorge on the plankton that are there. So if you're ever on the Galapagos Islands or Yucatan Peninsula at the right time, you can see some beautiful whale sharks. One of the other things that is always cool to look at are methods of communication. For us as humans, we use a mixture of verbal, nonverbal, paraverbal communication, and other animals might use chirps or squeaks or screams of some kind to communicate. Well, in the case of the whale shark, they don't use sound for communication. Instead, they are able to detect vibrations made by sound, which can help them locate prey or nearby marine life. So maybe they use a form of communication that researchers just haven't cracked yet. And parts of their skin are incredibly tough. And this skin is covered in hard, tooth-like scales, which are called denticles. Now, on this article, it doesn't yet say what the purposes of these patches of skin are for, but maybe we can learn something in the future about that specifically. And when it comes to the life expectancy of the whale shark, because they are quite large, we oftentimes can assume that they will live to be a bit longer in relation to some of the other smaller animals that we've covered. According to many researchers, they oftentimes will die in their 60s, but others speculate that they can live to be 100 or even upwards of 150 years old. So that is quite some time to swim around and gather as many plankton as you can. And when it comes to the speed of the whale shark, although they are quite large, they will tend to swim at speeds of only 5 kilometers an hour on average. For those of you that prefer miles, that's just over 3 miles an hour. So that is not very fast, but we can think of what advantage would that bring to this species. Going slower speeds in combination with this sort of passive ingestion can really help with an energy preservation, which is important especially in the wild. And the last fact before we go into the name of whale shark, where does it come from, is really what its main threats are in the wild. And when it comes to the population of whale sharks, their main threat is the growth of unregulated and unsustainable fisheries to supply international trade demands for shark fins, liver oil, which is often used to waterproof boats of a wooden kind, skin and meat in the East Asian countries. So here we have another example in which animals are not necessarily being fluctuated naturally with predation from other animals or from other natural processes. Rather, we have a human intervention through excessive poaching, which I think we have seen in many times on this show, is quite common, unfortunately. So there are many resources online that talk about how to help the vulnerable whale shark. If you'd like to do that, then that is available for you to do online on the internet. But let us go to the name whale shark. Where does it come from? I actually had quite some trouble finding an etymology for whale shark as a whole. I did, however, search up whale and shark separately and will try to piece the pieces together. The noun of whale really comes from Old English whale, which, you know, means whale, but also walrus, and that comes from Proto-Germanic words, Old Norse words, Middle Dutch words, Old High German words, and it is source also of the Latin word squalus, which means a kind of large sea fish. In popular use, many a time, it was just applied to any large sea animal. So that might be why the whale shark wasn't called something like large spotted shark or something like that, but rather called whale shark. Perhaps they just saw a very, very large shark species and decided to just throw the name whale behind it because it was often used to describe any large sea animal. And the word shark, really, the meaning of the word prior to being associated with an animal in particular, was dishonest person who preys on others. So this might have been the original sense, which was later transferred to the large marine fish that we have covered some of the species of already. So if this is the case, this word possibly comes from the German word schurk, or a variant of the word shirk, which means scoundrel or villain. So I see how these words would be attached to the shark, because as people going along the sea, these would not be one of the animals that you would likely want to see in the water. So somebody who preys on others, we can see how that attribution was possibly made. So that is possibly how the whale shark got its name. We had to make some guesses. If anybody knows more on that topic, feel free to send me an email. The whale shark is such a cool animal. Thank you again, Jordan, for writing into the show. If you want to learn about a particular animal and it hasn't already been covered, send me an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can send a message to the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts. Although, as of the recording of this episode, I do not have access to the Instagram. But for those of you that do follow that Instagram, when I get access to it again, I will be sure to post and let everyone know. Again, I apologize if I sound sort of nasally or congested. I am getting over a sickness right now, so I hope that the episode was still quite enjoyable for you. For those of you that support the show on YouTube or on Patreon, all of your contributions do not go unnoticed, and they are greatly appreciated. If you just joined us for the first time on this episode, welcome to the Animal Podcast family, and I am so happy that you could spend some time with me and with other listeners as we traversed the ocean waters today. So I hope to see you on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.